This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at markets, I'm Randy Conan. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson said export demand offered some support for the grains this week as we moved into a three-day holiday weekend.
We're seeing good strength in, you know, with China buying and Colombia buying and Mexico buying. So that's helping to give some support to the market. And the fact that we just got so cheap, you know, just got so low that these markets are bouncing off some support lines right now. And the rumor is that China is looking to buy soybeans right now, and it looks like, you know, the U.S. is going to be primarily the location that we're coming from. We do have the cheapest corn and the beans right now in the world. So it's, you know, if we're going to be seeing the demand, they're going to be, you know, if they're looking to buy, they're going to be coming to the U.S.
And Martinson will be one of our market panelists at Big Iron on Tuesday on March or September the 10th at that 1:30 marketing panel. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Stroman said demand and short covering also supported these grains.
You know, I think just low prices, again, certainly I think, and the recent weakness in the dollar have generated some export demand, and I think that certainly helped this week. And we made new contract lows in the grains here the past couple of weeks, and some short covering coming into play. I think you're seeing that in the corn market as well, and strong exports there this week as well. And then the wheat complex, too, also posting new contract lows. And we saw six-month lows in the EU and French wheat markets this week, but they've also firmed up this week.
And with the increase in export sales in recent weeks, Comstock Investments analyst Joe Camp advises us to watch how the dollar moves going forward.
Keep track of the U.S. dollar for its guidance on the exports, which have all of a sudden been a lot better lately. These last couple of days, though, the dollar index rebounding, wondering if it could approach par, the 100 level. It's already just recently down for a new low on the year. If it continues lower, that would be a good source of support for the commodities. But again, we're testing that with some strength the last couple of days, so worth watching.
Well, the cattle markets ended the week slightly higher. AgMarket.net analyst Tyler Shaw says slowing demand is weighing on this livestock market.
We're starting to see box beef prices trickle lower, which isn't all that great. And there might be kind of a macro trade where they're trying to pull that premium for beef down to match up with where it's at for pork and chicken. And if that's the case, this market is not out of the weeds yet.
Ann Chow is one of the Red River Farm Network market analysts on Thursday, September 12th at the Big Iron Farm Show. Milk supplies across the upper Midwest remaining very tight. According to the latest USDA dairy market news, spot milk prices paid by dairy processors range from $2.25 to $3 over the Class 3 price. That premium is being seen even with some cheese plants down for seasonal repairs. Processors are not expecting spot milk availability to improve anytime soon. Dairy markets have been strong. Ever Ag market analyst Jenny Wackershauser says the beef cattle markets are a large factor in that increase.
So as we've worked through this year in the dairy markets, one of the key factors everyone's been watching is the fact that we have a limited herd of replacement heifers. So when we've went through the last few cycles of very tight milk markets and droughts out west, we saw it actually ties a lot back to the beef herd. They liquidated a lot of their breeding stock over the last few years. And at the same time, beef on dairy has entered into dairy management on the farms. And that has become a key source of calves into that beef side of our business.
That's a look at markets this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
The North Dakota mill has been producing northern-grown spring wheat and durum flour since 1922. The mill now adds value to more than 30 million bushels per year. North Dakota mill employees take pride in the highest quality spring wheat and durum wheat products for the baking and pasta industries. Look for Dakota-made flour in 5, 10, and 25-pound packages, as well as pancake and bread machine mixes. Spring wheat and durum flour, superior quality, is what separates the North Dakota mill from the competition. It's the Big Iron Farm and Construction Show in West Fargo, September 10th, 11th, and 12th. Daily Market Outlook seminars in the Red River Farm Network building starting at 1:30. Panelists include Randy Martinson, Naomi Bloom, Tyler Shaw, Tommy Grisafi, Allison Thompson, and more. Look for the Red River Farm Network's new building near the center of the grounds. Find out more at rrfn.com. Sponsored in part by the North Dakota Farmers Union, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Proceed.
With a look at news this week in agriculture, I'm Tyler Donaldson. Canada Industrial Relations Board ordered Canadian rail workers to cease their strike and to resume working earlier this week. Canadian Labor Minister called for binding arbitration on Thursday after the work stoppage began. Teamsters Union, representing the workers of Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railroads, plans to work with labor groups to seek a legal challenge. North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer is praising the Canadian government for its intervention on the rail work stoppage issue. Cramer said a work stoppage would be bad for both the U.S. and Canadian economies. Last week, Cramer called the Canadian ambassador to the United States, Kirsten Hillman, to emphasize the need to resolve the labor dispute. Massive Farm Progress Show ran for 3 days this week in Boone, Iowa. Hundreds of exhibitors were featured. Many companies introduced new products and innovations at this year's show. Farm Progress Show also included corn harvesting demonstrations and an autonomous technology showcase. Smithfield Foods plans to spin off its European business, but will remain part of Smithfield's parent company, WH Group. The decision is being made to go public with the U.S. pork business. Activist groups are suing the European Commission, seeking more stringent greenhouse gas emissions rules. Climate Action Network and the Global Legal Action Network claim the greenhouse gas emission limits on agriculture and other business segments do not go far enough and should be illegal. The court has given the case priority status and could be heard within the next year. Corteva Agriscience is introducing upgrades to its soybean seed treatment offerings. The Luminate fungicide seed treatment provides control of Pythium and works against more strains of soil-borne diseases than previous Lumigen seed treatment. Phalanx insecticide seed treatment will replace the Gaucho seed treatment, and the improved Lumigen seed treatment package will be available next spring. Another farm bill extension is all but a certainty. At the Farm Progress Show, House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson said it was time for the Senate to act. In Thompson's words, the Senate has 90 pages of ideas, but has not taken any real action. The legislation has passed the House Agriculture Committee, but does not appear to have enough votes to pass the full House. Senate Agriculture Committee has not yet voted on the farm bill. Farm bill is operating under a one-year extension, which expires at the end of September. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack made a stop at the Farm Progress Show in Iowa.
Since I'm at the Farm Progress Show, we obviously want to make sure that we announce some progress.
Vilsack outlined the work underway to develop H5N1 vaccines for dairy cattle.
We have a number of companies that have been working on vaccines, and one company has now presented sufficient information to the USDA to allow me to authorize, which I did this week, the first field trial of a vaccine for cattle, H5N1, for safety purposes.
The field trials are the next step in vaccine development. And USDA has updated its guidelines dealing with animal production or environment-related claims on meat and poultry labeling. The Agriculture Department said this action represents the work that has been done to protect consumers from false and misleading labels. Iowa Utilities Commission has issued a construction permit for the Summit Carbon Solutions Pipeline. Before construction can begin, the commission requires project approval from North Dakota and South Dakota regulators. USDA economists are predicting the U.S. agricultural trade deficit will reach $42.5 billion in fiscal year 2025. That compares to a projected trade gap of $31.5 billion this year. Exports are forecast at $169.5 billion, down $4 billion from 2024. Imports are expected to be up $8 billion to $212 billion. The lower value of corn, soybeans, and cotton combined with lower volumes of beef exports are big parts of the trade deficit story. And the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's Biofuels Infrastructure Grant Program will award $3.3 million to service stations to expand the availability of higher biofuel blends. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz said this investment helps lower emissions, save money for the driver, and supports farmers in the renewable ag sector. That's a look at the news this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Time is running out to earn more for your acres. The Soil and Water Outcomes Fund wants to pay you to begin or expand on-farm conservation efforts, such as reduced tillage and cover crops. They offer one-year contracts. 50% is paid prior to verification, and our entire listening area is eligible. Get paid to reduce wind erosion, improve your soil health, and more. Hurry to their website and request a payment estimate today. TheOutcomesFund.com. That's TheOutcomesFund.com.
Trust Don Wick, Randy Conan, Tyler Donaldson, and Melissa Hammer to deliver the news that impacts your bottom line. Dedicated, determined, dependable. 90 minutes of farm programs each weekday. For farm broadcasters, the Red River Farm Network is here to deliver the information you need to do your job. Information you can trust. Farm news, markets, and weather. On air and online. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. Labor Day weekend forecast looks dry, highs in the 70s and 80s. National Weather Service, there is a small chance of smoke from Canadian wildfires that could occur over the weekend. The third day of the Red River Farm Network crop tour presented by Pioneer covered an area from Jamestown to Castleton. Field agronomist Eric Loggy said most of the corn in that area is at the early dense stage.
You know, that's, you know, roughly 60 days till you're harvesting, about 30 days until we hit physiological maturity. And that's all depending on the weather too, right? So we could be less or more depending on what we're picking up. On the soybean side of things, we're in that R5 stage, whether it's beginning R5 or, you know, closer to R6. And we have seen a lot of differences in those crop staging just depending on planting date.
There was a significant amount of replanting after a massive hailstorm in early June in the Ypsilanti-Montpelier area of southern North Dakota. Levi Taylor, who operates Crop Innovations LLC, says it was a serious setback.
It was a gut punch. I mean, we had a lot of these soybeans that were in, you know, fairly early. When you look at the book, you know, early soybeans usually pan out to turn out really, really well. And so, you know, it was doom and gloom for a little bit, but as soon as the fields dried out and let us get back to it, you know, I think it alleviated a lot of guys' concerns just knowing that we got back in the field in somewhat of a timely manner to still, you know, hopefully get a respectable crop out of the replant. But right now it looks good. The biggest factor is going to be, you know, just kind of how much drowned out we had out there, you know, and what that's going to mean for our final, you know, field averages and stuff like that.
And at the end of the crop tour, territory manager Jared Hansen says it's important for farmers to consider local conditions when making those seed decisions.
What works down in Dorothy, Minnesota, where we started the day, compared to what works in Warroad, Minnesota, where we're ending the day, can be two totally different climates, environments, and we got to make sure we get the right product for the customer.
Casey Folsom of East Grand Forks says they're not quite ready to start potato harvesting, but they're getting close.
Yeah, we haven't started harvesting yet. We're still a couple weeks away. I know there are some people who have started, but yeah, we're still a couple weeks away. And we kind of had a wet spring and a little bit of a tough start, but pretty good growing season all in all. And yeah, now with this rain, it's kind of, we'll see how it all, see how it shakes out and what it how it impacts harvest, but I think, you know, we got enough to last us for a while here, so we definitely won't be hoping for any more anytime soon.
New Miller Harvesting has been working cutting grain throughout North Dakota. Roger New Miller has been busy harvesting durum and canola near New England.
Canola varies quite a bit. We've done some 1,400, and we've done some actually double that, 28. And durum has been averaging anywhere from 50 to 70. We actually missed the rain. It hasn't been very good harvesting out here. It's been high humidity till later, you know, so it makes it later in the day before we can go. But the last couple of days have been pretty nice. The humidity has been down around 60 at 8 o'clock already.
And Cole Newmiller has been harvesting near Hanna, North Dakota, seeing some decent quality despite the rain delays.
Very slow. We only get in probably 5-6 hours, if that, just high humidity, wet in the morning. It's been very slow. We just got an inch for Wednesday night, I do believe, and we got an inch 40 here. The quality seems pretty decent. We got probably 63-pound test weight yet on some of the stuff that we're doing right now. But.
And that's a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan. Make sure to visit Ag Week at Big Iron in West Fargo, September 10th through the 12th. Sign up for your chance to win a PermaSteel cooler at the Ag Week booth, which is located in the Expo Center. Visit with the Ag Week journalists who bring you timely news online, in print, and on TV. Renew your subscription or check out the show deals on new subscriptions. Follow all of Ag Week's coverage from Big Iron by visiting agweek.com, reading Ag Week magazine, or watching Ag Week TV.
Better than ever, it's the Big Iron Farm and Construction Show, September 10th, 11th, and 12th. The Red River Farm Network hosting forums in our new location near the center of the grounds. We'll also live stream our sessions online at yourliveevent.com and the Red River Farm Network YouTube channel. Ag Country has seminars on retirement and tax planning, crop insurance tools, and managing your bottom line in uncertain times. Our forum, sponsored in part by the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, NDFB, and Pioneer.